This is a CBC podcast.
Support for delivery of this podcast comes from the Buick Enclave, the finest luxury crossover ever. Visit buick.gm.ca to see that where there's passion, there's beauty.
You've downloaded the Editor's Choice podcast for Thursday, October 25th. I'm Pedro Mendez. Canadian MC Buck 65 has spent most of his career making music that many people find hard to classify. Technically, it's hip-hop, but it's also blues, folk, rock, pop, and more. His new CD, Situation, continues that eclectic approach. The album is basically a tribute to 1957. It was in 57 that Leave It to Beaver appeared on TV, The Frisbee came out, Humphrey Bogart died, and On the Road was published. Buck 65 was in our Toronto studio on Here and Now with host Matt Galloway.
Buck 65 with me in the studio. It's good to see you again.
Yeah, it's good to see you too.
1957, it's a long time ago. I wasn't born
50 years.
Yeah, there you go. What exactly happened in 1957?
I would sum it up in a nutshell by saying like the Cold War really started to take shape in 57. Chairman Mao implemented the Great Leap Forward in China in 1957. Rock and roll really broke into the mainstream in 1957.
Jailhouse Rock.
Jailhouse Rock was a big film and record that year. The Beat Generation kind of emerged on the scene in 1957, emerged and were banned, which is important. And Betty Page, she vanished at the peak of her popularity in 1957. And I could go on.
I mean,
and
you
on
could.
On.
I mean, there's on your website, there's a video, and essentially it's like 5 minutes of you talking about what happened in 1957.
Yeah.
What would lead you to believe that this is a good subject for a record?
Now that's a good question. Well, I suppose, you know, there's something about those round figures like 50. We celebrate 50 year anniversaries a little differently than we celebrate the 49th or the 51st, don't we? And I just stopped and considered what happened 50 years ago and kind of thought it was worth, you know, holding up a mirror and asking a few questions like 50 years ago, how far have we come? What's changed? What's stayed the same?
But did you know that all of, I mean, you weren't born then. Did you know that all these things happened in 57? Or did you, I mean, sort of one led to the other and suddenly you realize, wow, this is a landmark year in popular culture.
Yeah, I just happened to take an interest one day in Situationism, the writings of Guy Debord, this guy that believed that surrealism could be, you know, used as a force for political change.
This is a movement that also began in 1957.
Yeah. So I'm reading his writings and trying to understand the climate that gave rise to such ideas. And as I began to investigate what was going on in the world politically and culturally in that year, all of a sudden I found myself in a veritable, whirlwind of fascinating ideas and figures. And I felt that I was very inspired. And lo and behold, that inspiration manifested itself in an album's worth of songs.
Situationism is interesting. I mean, it's a philosophy, but there are a lot of people who subscribe to that philosophy as well. The story was that Malcolm McLaren,
right,
who started the Sex Pistols, was inspired by the idea of situationism and the idea that pop culture didn't need to be bland and just sort of one level. Is that, I mean, was that interesting to you as well?
Yeah, absolutely. The idea of, you know, taking art out of, you know, arguably, you know, stuffy or sterilized type of environment and, really taking it to people or to the street and bringing it to life and giving it, you know, some real vitality and, you know, using it to as a force for change or to get, you know, people thinking and really engaged. It's absolutely an interesting idea. I think that's, you know, the great power and potential of art. I mean, I can certainly appreciate a beautiful painting on a wall as well. Don't get me wrong. But, to know that, you know, sometimes music or a musician can have that sort of power, I think is great.
All through the record, I mean, there seems to be this kind of idea of reminiscing, of kind of peering back into things that you did musically and things that you did personally, et cetera, et cetera. Why did you want to do that?
I'm a romantic. That's all there is to it. I'm a nostalgic, you know, sort of person. And not only did I, you know, am I interested and do I think it's history is very important, but as far as like, you know, making a return to, I guess what you could say are my, you know, hip hop type roots.
Yeah.
You know, I'd gone through my own personal little, you know, renaissance with it, my own rekindling of my, you know, my love affair with it somehow. I don't know where it came from.
That's interesting because, I mean, you were very vocal saying that you distanced yourself from this music that you grew up loving. And you even said maybe that you hated hip hop or something like that, which is a very inflammatory thing to say. I mean, what's the connection? I mean, is there less of what you didn't like in the music now? Or did you find something in the music or rediscover something in the music that you forgot was there?
You know, I think it was, you know, partly that, you know, just finding, you know, something that I had forgotten about. But I think I also just needed like a little bit of, you know, time. You know, when you're, I shouldn't even say when you're a kid, for any of us, when we initially get upset, you know, in the moment we react. Sometimes, you know, we say things we don't mean, we get upset, and then we take a minute to like reflect and really think and put things in perspective. You know, and I think I've done that, you know, and my relationship with, you know, the genre, with the art form has gone through its ups and downs. And, you know, as time goes on, I come to understand it better. I come to understand myself better and my place in it. And it's not easy for me to find a place in it, but I continue to try to find it and to try to even, I suppose you could say, justify you know, a place for myself.
What is the beauty of the music? So many people talk ill of hip-hop, and there are easy things to take shots at in this music. For you, what's the attraction? What's the draw? What's the sense of beauty that you find in this music?
Well, you know, there's just like a simplicity there, and you know, the idea that was at least like promised in it initially that, you know, almost anybody, you know, can do it. You know, and that you don't need a lot to get started was always a great idea for me. But I think there was a lot of promise in the early days, and it could be, you know, debated until you're blue in the face whether or not, you know, that promise is delivered on, you know, day to day, week to week, and so on. But the idea that there's just no limits and, you know, you're just meant to express yourself and you know, that, you know, absolutely nothing is off, you know, limits.
And it's everywhere. I mean, you're just saying outside the studio, you're in Iceland, and there's hip-hop in Iceland.
Absolutely. You know, it's amazing. It's incredible to me. And, you know, just this idea that, you know, individuality is so welcome, almost like it's a parallel universe of music where it can have, like, within it several genres inside, and there's a place for everyone to express themselves exactly where they came from. And I think that's been the key to its global success, is that whatever your experience is, you know, is unique and therefore, you know, valuable in this field. Now, whether or not that promise has always been realized, like I said, is a whole other debate, but it was an idea that was put forth in the early days when I was first exposed to it, and I've stuck by it, and that's continued to mean something.
You don't need to be from Brooklyn. You don't need to be from Los Angeles. You can be from Truro, Nova Scotia.
Exactly.
And still fit into the music.
Uh-huh.
It's nice to see you back making this kind of music.
Yeah.
Watching the baseball, of course.
Of course.
As a former almost professional baseball player, who do you pick, Red Sox or Colorado?
I've got the fever, and I'm going with the Rockies. I've been spending a lot of time down Denver way lately, and they feel like my boys, and we got a Canadian on the hill for Colorado tonight. So I'm with Colorado all the way. I don't know if I'm going to, you know, pick them in four necessarily. It's going to be an interesting series, but I'm waving the flag for them.
Good for you.
For more info on Buck 65, you can check out the CBC Radio 3 website, which, by the way, that's where I work, CBC Radio 3. Most of the time. Anyway, we've got videos, music, concert recordings, and more. Just head over to cbc.ca/radio3, and that's the number 3. I'm Pedro Mendez, and I'll have a new editor's choice for you tomorrow.
Hi, I'm Jesse Brown. I'm the host of Search Engine, a new CBC radio show that is all about how the internet is changing politics and culture. It's not a gadget show. We don't really care much about technology so much as we care about the effect that technology is having on the world that we live in. All of the surprising and significant and funny stories that we bring you on Search Engine are about things that are happening right now. In the short time that we've been on the air, we've already become the CBC's most popular news podcast in the States. So come find out why. Subscribe to our podcast on CBC's podcasting page or through iTunes.